This is Sam Dharmasena, and you are listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. The National Institute on Aging, NIA, is a Ryerson University think tank focused on the realities of Canada's aging population. Older Canadians now represent the country's fastest-growing demographic. According to the NIA's National Senior Strategy, approximately 1 in 6 Canadians were over the age of 65 in 2019. The NIA is Canada's only think tank dedicated to policy solutions for an aging population, and their work is at the intersections of healthcare, financial security, and social well-being. Dr. Samir Sinha is the Director of Health Policy Research and co-chair of the NIA. He currently serves as the Director of Geriatrics at Sinai Health System and the University Health Network.
When you think about what is it that a geriatrician does, we principally work with primary care providers and other specialists, really providing comprehensive care and assessments for frail older adults who are struggling to maintain their independence in the community. Sometimes they're on multiple medications, they're struggling with multiple chronic conditions, and our goal is to try and help them stay healthy and independent for as long as possible. But we also certainly do work with younger, healthier older adults, for example, as well, who might be wanting to work with us to do what they can to stay healthy and independent for as long as possible. So we have quite a varied focus of what we do as geriatricians, but principally it's caring for older adults with complex issues as well.
We talk about what flu seasons look like around the world, right here in Canada, and what this season might look like as we navigate influenza outbreaks and COVID-19 outbreaks, especially in long-term care and congregate settings.
When we think about flu and why flu is such an important issue, we know it's actually the 7th leading cause of death in Canada, and it's our most vaccine preventable cause of death. So when you think about influenza in particular, it does affect people of all ages, but it has a predilection for the old, just like COVID-19. And that translates into over 12,000 hospitalizations a year and about 3,500 deaths every year. And this is mostly amongst older Canadians.
Dr. Sinha tells me that Canada recommends a vaccination target of 80% a year, but never actually hits it. Vaccination rates among the general Canadian population is around 30 to 40%, and among older Canadians, it's around 60%. He tells me that our numbers look quite different from our counterparts.
We're behind the US. We're actually behind the UK. We're behind many other countries in achieving our influenza vaccination targets. In fact, the only country that reaches their targets consistently is actually South Korea. And this is a problem because this is actually a preventative health measure that's often made available free of charge and conveniently through pharmacies and primary care provider and public health units. Yet we still have trouble getting people vaccinated.
Like Dr. Sinha mentioned earlier, older Canadians are more vulnerable to influenza. He adds that aging is not the same for all Canadians. There are disparities in healthcare as well as other sectors that impact aging, things like affordable housing, access to transportation, and much more, which are outlined in the National Senior Strategy. Where someone lives also matters. Congregate settings will usually face more influenza outbreaks.
So there's 425,000 Canadians living in retirement homes, but also long-term care and nursing homes. And these are individuals who are frail, older adults generally. These are people who are living in close quarters. They're often receiving care from the same individual. Multiple people are receiving care from the same individual. So you can imagine that if someone comes into that care home with influenza, it can spread like wildfire pretty quickly. And that's why we really try and make an effort to vaccinate everybody in a long-term care home, including the staff, but also residents. I can't say that we are universally successful in doing that, but we certainly are doing better at that. But you have to remember that when flu outbreaks occur, they occur at 3 times the level in nursing homes as they do in retirement homes. And principally because in nursing homes, especially in Ontario, we actually have people more likely to be living 2 to a room, 3 to a room, or even 4 to a room, where retirement homes, which are all private pay, if you have money to pay for a retirement home, you're not going to be living with a roommate. You're going to be living in your own room.
I asked Dr. Sinha what would typically happen if there was an influenza outbreak in long-term care. He said the response is pretty similar to any other setting.
Generally, what you try and do is you try and make sure that everybody gets vaccinated, but unfortunately, it takes a few weeks to mount a response. You also try and put everybody on medications that can help treat or prevent flu issues. And there's some medications out there to try and do that. So we actually, the key is we actually do have vaccinations. We do actually have some treatments available.
He points out that this is one of the things that make influenza outbreaks and COVID-19 outbreaks different. We don't have the same tools.
The challenge is that when COVID-19 gets into a home, and can more easily spread like wildfire, because COVID-19, unlike influenza, is more likely to have asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic presentations. And we don't really have anything in the way of a vaccine as of yet. We also don't have as many effective treatments, unlike, you know, we have some dexamethasone that's now available, which is a steroid treatment that can be helpful with people like COVID-19. But we don't necessarily have the same tools in our toolbox that can really prevent a large outbreak from turning quite deadly very quickly as well. And we have to remember that COVID-19 is far more deadly than influenza. And that's why we're seeing significant death tolls that have occurred so far in Canada in our care homes compared to a typical flu season, if you will.
So what will the next few months look like for us as we're navigating flu season and the ongoing pandemic? Dr. Sinha refers to this as the twindemic and explains that we can't know for sure. We've seen other regions experience less cases of the flu, likely from COVID-19 precautions like social distancing and masks. Australia is one of those examples. Their flu season runs through their winter season, which aligns with the Canadian summer. So the last few months in Australia can shed some light on what's possible.
What we do know is that in jurisdictions like Australia or Chile, like countries in the Southern Hemisphere, they didn't really see much of a flu season this past year. And we think their main reason is because everybody was more hypervigilant in washing their hands, in physical distancing, in wearing masks. Those are all good things that protect us from COVID-19. And they're equally really good things to protect us against influenza as well. So we don't really know how virulent the strains of influenza were this year, because what we do know is that because people were doing a pretty good job of doing those preventative measures against COVID-19, that probably helped to lower the risk that we'd actually have outbreaks of influenza in the Southern Hemisphere.
The hope is that our flu season looks like the ones he mentioned in Australia and Chile. Dr. Sinha reminds me that we were at the end of our flu season when the first wave of COVID-19 really began in March. So what lies ahead will be a totally new experience for Canada. We're also facing flu vaccine shortages and long wait times in some parts of the country, especially Toronto. So for such a strong advocate of the flu vaccine and as someone who cares for those that are most vulnerable to influenza, it's been disappointing for Dr. Sinha to see.
We're also seeing an increased demand for the flu vaccine this year, more so than we've ever seen before. The challenge, of course, there being is that we're quickly seeing that provinces didn't anticipate that there'd be this much interest in the flu vaccination, which boggles my mind. And therefore, we're now facing flu vaccine shortages at a time when Canadians were finally willing to allow us to meet our public health targets. So I just think that, again, this is all characterized by we should have been doing things earlier to protect people against COVID. And currently, we're also seeing that we weren't doing enough to get people vaccinated against things like influenza and supported against influenza as well. And so this is where we need to be much more mindful about what we can do to prevent the flu.
I'll be sharing more of Dr. Sinha's insights over the next few days. We talked about the fact that many long-term care staff belong to communities that are disproportionately impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, which is data that we didn't have during the first wave. We also dive deeper into the NIA's National Senior Strategy and the state of Canada's healthcare system. Stay tuned, but you can always visit the NIA's website, nia-ryerson.ca, to learn about these topics and much more. This is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.